The Judiciary Committee will come to order. Lindsay, please call the roll.
Chair Grawl.
Present.
Vice Chair Byrd.
Here.
Republican Whip Gregory.
Here.
Ranking Member Driscoll.
Here.
Representatives Alexander.
Here.
Beltran.
Here.
Brannon.
Here.
Bousada Cabrera.
Here.
Diamond.
Here.
Duggan.
Here.
Fernandez Barquin. Fetterhoff.
Here.
Gottlieb has been excused. Grieco.
Here.
Hart.
Present.
Learned.
Here.
Clayken. Here. Roach.
Present.
Salzman.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Trunow.
Here.
A quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Lindsay. Members of the audience, I'd want to remind you that everyone should please silence their cell phones. As a reminder for our members and presenters, please ensure that you turn your microphone on when you are speaking and off when you are finished. I also request that you please fill out a public appearance card if you intend to speak before the committee. Members, welcome back. Welcome to the 2022 legislative session and to the first Judiciary Committee meeting. I look forward to working with all of you this year. And today we are going to start off this legislative session by hearing five bills. I would ask for Representative Saroy to present HB 465, please. Representative Saroy, you are recognized to present your bill.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Byrd, and Ranking Member Driscoll. It's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. The United States Space Force was established on December 20th, 2019, when the National Defense Authorization Act was signed into law with bipartisan support, creating the first new branch of our United States Armed Services in 73 years. The establishment of the Space Force resulted from widespread recognition that space is a national security imperative. House Bill 465 brings Florida statutes up to date with the creation of the newest branch of our armed forces by recognizing Space Force, along with dozens of references to other branches of the military. Additionally, this bill updates statutes with the name changes of two specified former Air Force bases, which are now Space Force bases, Patrick Space Force Base and Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, which I'm very proud to have in Brevard County. Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Members, are there any questions? Seeing no questions, is there any public testimony on the bill? I do not have any appearance cards. Okay, members, is there any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, you are recognized to close.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Beltran.
Yes.
Brannon.
Yes.
Bousada Cabrera. Byrd.
Yes.
Diamond.
Yes.
Driscoll.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin. Fetterhoff. Gottlieb has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Clayken?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trunow?
Yes.
Chair Grawl?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays. Madam Chair.
Show HB 465 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Saroy. Next, we will hear from Representative Fabricio on HM 43. You are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair Grawl, members. 6 months ago, on July 11th, the people of Cuba took to the streets to let the world know they wanted freedom. Following the July 11th protests, Cuban President Díaz-Canel responded by explicitly making a call for combat, urging his supporters to take back the streets. He shut down the internet access to counter reports of human suffering in Cuba. Hundreds of Cubans have been arrested, many have been convicted, and more are expected to be convicted shortly. Many are missing. This memorial shows the Florida support for the Cuban people and urges the federal government to condemn the Cuban communist leadership, assist the people of Cuba, and formally request a meeting of the United Nations Security Council to request authorization for action. This memorial shows that we are committed to Cuba's freedom and will always support their fight for democracy. And that's the memorial.
Members, are there any questions? Seeing no questions, and there is no public comment. Members, we are in debate. Any debate? Seeing no debate, you are recognized to close on the memorial.
Wave close.
Lindsay, Please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Brannan?
Yes.
Bousada Cabrera? Byrd?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Placen?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trunau?
Yes.
Chair Graw?
Yes.
17 yeas, zero nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Please show House Memorial 43 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Committee.
Next, we will hear from Representative Maney on HB 387. Representative Maney, you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members of the committee. Many of you have heard this presentation before in another committee, but just briefly, this bill is permissive, not mandatory, allowing circuit judges in counties where there is a contract probation service to sentence defendants who have only a misdemeanor pending to the contract probation provider. Madam Chair, that's the bill.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions on the bill, we do have public comment. First, we'll hear from Nancy Daniels with the Florida Public Defender Association. Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Barney Bishop with Florida Smart Justice Alliance. Thank you. And finally, we'll hear from Aaron Wyatt of the Florida Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. Great, thank you. Having completed public comment, we are in debate on the bill. Members, anyone wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing no one wishing to debate, you are recognized to close.
Madam Chair, I close.
Thank you. Having waived close, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Brannan?
Yes.
Bousada Cabrera? Byrd?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Placen?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trunau?
Yes.
Chair Graw?
Yes.
19 yeas, zero nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Lindsay. Show HB 387 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Maney.
Thank you.
Next, we will hear from Representative Placen on CS for HB 95. Representative Placen, you are recognized to present the bill from your chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for hearing this bill today. By this time tomorrow morning, more than a dozen Floridians will be dead as a result of a drug overdose. In each of these tragedies, one or more drug dealers has made a profit off the pain of Florida families. 50 years ago, in 1972, the legislature and Governor Askew decided that a killing by unlawful distribution of certain drugs can be first-degree murder. Over the years, a number of substances have been added to the list of drugs to which this statute applies. This bill is simply a further clarification and modernization of Florida Statute 782. It does so in three ways, mainly. First, it adds methamphetamine to the list of controlled substances subject to the statute. This is a result of the executive order by Governor DeSantis in 2019 to form the opioid task force led by Attorney General Moody and Vice Chair, Seminole County Sheriff Dennis Lima. Second, it clarifies the statute by changing the words proximate cause to substantial factor. This change is a result of conversations with prosecutors around the state, which have had difficulty getting convictions, especially since most of these deaths involve multiple substances. Third, it applies It provides enhanced penalties for selling controlled substances within 1,000 feet of a drug treatment clinic, a sober home, or any facility that provides treatment to recovering addicts. This is also a recommendation of the task force. That's the bill, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, members. Are there questions on the bill? Ranking Member Driscoll, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hi, good afternoon, Chair Plakin. Could you talk a little bit more, please, about the decision to move from proximate cause to substantial factor? As I understand it, substantial factor is a standard that's used in civil cases, whereas proximate cause is a higher standard that might be more appropriate for criminal cases. So why are we relaxing the standard?
You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is in consultation with prosecutors around the state, detailing how difficult it was to get convictions. And with particularly today, with so many, you know, multiple drugs, typically these deaths have multiple drug, it's hard to pin it on exactly that, the substantial factor standard. So in this case, to use the word substantial factor in the person's death, they can be charged. So, this has been this way since 1972, and it's been very, very difficult to get prosecution. So this is consultation with prosecutors around the state to clarify the language.
Additional questions? Representative Learned, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for the bill. I just wanted to ask a question. I know I asked you this in the subcommittee as well. Do you know of any example of an execution which has taken place because of a felony murder drug offense in the state of Florida?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, but that's, I believe, a reason to leave it in here. If in an extraordinary situation that hasn't happened for 50 years, granted, you'd have to imagine the situation, the death penalty could be on the table. But it would have to have the proper aggravating factors, and I know there's some move to try to remove that possibility, but I see no reason to remove it. And again, that was put in there by the Democrat legislature in 1972 with Governor Askew. So I don't see any reason to walk that back, particularly in a wave of drug deaths we're having. I don't think it should ever be, but certainly now is not the time.
You're recognized for follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick follow-up. Can you, I did a little bit of research and I wasn't able to find one, so I just wanted to see if you might be able to. Do you know of another state? I know this isn't in the federal statutes, but can you point to another state that has a mandatory, that makes it a capital offense for these nonviolent drug crimes?
You're recognized.
I don't have the information, but it sounds like you might.
I don't have one.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any additional questions, members? No additional questions on the bill. Members, we are going to move on to the amendment. Amendment barcode number 519389. Representative Learned, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment came from our conversations when we heard this in the Criminal Justice Subcommittee. I had it voluntarily withdrawn at the sponsor's request at the Appropriations Committee because it didn't have a fiscal impact. But I do want to have this conversation, and I think it's important. Look, I agree with adding meth to the list for felony murder. I'd go so far as to say that I agree with just about everything the sponsor has said as far as his intent with this bill. I want to make drug dealers pay. I want to keep them away from drug rehab centers, and I want to keep people safe. But under House Bill 95, we're being asked to make this a capital offense. Now, under testimony in previous committees and here, we know that nobody has ever been executed for this type of crime in the past, and the sponsor's intent is not to execute this people for this type of crime. So that leaves us with what? A mandatory minimum lifetime prison sentence for everyone else, regardless of the facts of the case. Who needs judges and juries if we get to decide all cases statewide forever, right here and right now? This amendment makes this a life felony, punishable by up to a lifetime in prison. So everything is still on the table for the worst offenders. But we're not tying the hands of every judge and jury in the state for everyone else. This, by the way, is in alignment, again, with the federal standards, and I and the chair haven't been able to find a single example of another state that has capital offense as the mandatory punishment for felony murder related to drug crimes. And again, this amendment complies with the intent of what we're trying to do here. People who deal meth and kill folks will go to prison for a long time and probably a lifetime. But this amendment punishes those who prey. This amendment punishes people who prey on vulnerable people and keeps our streets safe. And that, Madam Chair, is the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Learned. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, we have public testimony on the amendment. First, Lauren Jackson, Seminole County Sheriff's Office. She waives in opposition. Nancy Daniels, Florida Public Defender Association, waves in support. Jack Campbell, Florida Prosecuting Attorneys Association, waves in opposition. Matthew Dunnigan, Florida Sheriff's Association, waves in opposition. Judiciary, that's a duplicate. Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. These are all duplicates. And then Libby Guzzo from the Office of the Attorney General waves in opposition. I believe that I got everybody. Is that correct? Okay. Are there any members wishing to debate on the amendment? Representative Driscoll, you're recognized.
Thank you, I was going to say Madam Speaker. Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, Rep. Learned, thank you for this amendment. I'm down on the bill, and I'll probably have an opportunity to talk about that why later, but I do appreciate your attempt to make a bill that may be a little too heavy-handed better, because I think the balance that you're attempting to strike with your amendment is much better. The point that you made about the mandatory minimums and who needs judges and juries was particularly persuasive to me, because with this bill we are relaxing a standard that I fundamentally believe should not be relaxed. When you think about the full weight of the government, when the government brings a case against you, they have to be able to prove that. We've set up our criminal justice system like that for a reason. And so in a situation where we're relaxing it to say that it's a substantial factor, and there are many more factors, and we don't know which one was the main factor, we just know that you were of one factor, whatever substantial factor means, it's too much riding on the line, I think, to have mandatory minimums with that high of a potential upper limit for punishment. So thank you for your noble attempt to try to make this bill better. And regardless of what happens with the vote on the amendment today, I hope that that's a conversation that we can continue, because as you said, everyone wants to get to that result of punishing the people who do bad and who are doing harm in our community and trying to make our communities more healthy, prosperous, and safe. It's just that we need to make sure that we do so in a proportionate and a balanced way. So thank you. I'll be up on the amendment.
Thank you. Representative Plakin, you are recognized to debate on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I respectfully disagree with the sponsor to give judges more discretion. In my view, if a drug dealer for profit most of the time creates a substantial factor in the death of a Floridian, I think that at least the idea of the death penalty should be on the table, even though, again, admittedly, it hasn't happened in 50 years. There's, in the last year, 100,000 drug deaths in our country, and they're going up every year. There's communities all across our state struggling how to deal with this. In Orlando, as we speak, at 4:30, they're in a meeting right now, Project Opioid, has many of our notable community leaders are huddling in how to address this problem. So to walk this back, especially right now, to show the world that there is a even slight sympathy, if you will, for these people that would peddle death like this. I don't think it's ever the right time, but particularly now is not the right time to soften this from a law that's been this way since 1972. So I would respectfully ask the members, please vote this down.
Seeing no other members wishing to debate, Representative Learned, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll be incredibly brief because I think I made all the points I really need to earlier. I just, quick response to that. You talk about drug dealers profiting off of people's deaths. Well, that is the worst business model I've ever heard for anybody. Like, if you're killing your customers intentionally, you're undermining your entire, nobody's doing this intentionally, right? We are talking about, again, requiring a minimum of a lifetime sentence for everybody. And they don't have to intend to kill anybody. They don't have to be there when somebody died. They don't have to have that. They should go to jail. They should go to jail for a long time. I have zero disagreement with that. You can lock them up for 25 years. The federal statute's 25. So we can do that. We're just saying we don't have to lock a 19-year-old up until he dies at the age of 95 that you and I have to pay for in the Justice Appropriations Committee for the next 100 years. So this is about, again, I want to work with you. I want to fix this. I have a bill that I hope we can work on together, 6101. It is fentanyl test strips, and we can help fix the opioid crisis.
We
can do it in a way that doesn't lock up kids for life.
Having closed on his amendment, members, if you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Opposed? No.
No.
No. By your vote, the amendment fails. Members, we are back on the bill, and we have public testimony on the bill. First, Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance. You're recognized, Mr. Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Barney Bishop. I'm with the Florida Smart Justice Alliance. First, I want to thank Representative Plakin for bringing this very excellent bill to y'all, because he has been a consistent supporter and champion for smart justice, going all the way back to when we were dealing with juvenile civil citations. When we talked about the new idea of adult civil citations, Representative Plakin was just right there. And when we worked a bill and got the governor to sign it that says that every inmate leaving prison is entitled to a state-issued identification card and a certified copy of their birth certificate, Representative Plakin was there. So he has shown compassion, and he's shown help, and he's worked with us in Smart Justice to make that happen. So why do we need this bill? Well, first, because drug dealers have disrupted the drug marketplace. They create their own fake pills. I can buy a pill press on the internet for $25, and I can stamp anything on that pill press, that pill, that says anything I want it to say. So if I want you to think that I'm selling you a prescription drug, I can make it look just like that. But they don't put prescription drugs in there. They put bad ingredients in there, like fentanyl, which is synthetic heroin, like carfentanil, which they use representatives only to put down elephants and rhinoceros so that they can do surgery on them. Carfentanil, one flick of carfentanil could potentially kill you. So, and the drug dealers now are rolling it into joints, or what we used to call in my generation, doobies. So they're putting them in marijuana cigarettes. So a 19-year-old doing this, I would be surprised if we don't find 13-year-olds that are doing this. Second reason we need it is because drug dealers have gotten smarter. They just don't go down to the corner anymore. They go down to the drug rehab facilities, and they wait for the druggies to come out that are trying to go clean, and they're selling them right there on the spot. By the way, They're doing the same thing at human trafficking residential and treatment facilities. They're staying outside there when any of those people that are on a treatment program that aren't residing there, or when they get out of their residential program, they're there selling them drugs to try to get them into human trafficking again. So, Representative Learned, when you say that it's not a very good business model.
Mr. Bishop, if we could please address the bill and not the members individually, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, yes, ma'am. So when a comment is made that it's a poor business model for a drug dealer to sell drugs to people that might die, that makes common sense to you and I. But trust me, drug dealers don't think like that. Drug dealers know that there's always another generation, that there's always another customer around the corner. And they are getting into our children in elementary schools. So if I'm a drug dealer and I sell you a bag of pills, and it's 10, 25, 50, 100 pills, and I put fentanyl in every one of them, and 7 people die out of 100 pills, that's why you maybe need the capital offense in this bill. Because somebody has purposely worked overtime to put the wrong ingredients in these drugs that they're selling to the unsuspecting public. It doesn't make sense, but it does make money. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Aaron Waite, Florida Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. Karen Woodall, SPLC Action Fund. Nisha Rose Hines, ACLU Florida. Waves in opposition. Lauren Phillipson, representing herself, waves in opposition. Nancy Daniels, Florida Public Defender Association. Welcome, Ms. Daniels.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Chair Plakin, we respectfully oppose the bill. And there's 3 main reasons. One is we have recent experience with prosecutions that are successful under the current statute. And we cited in the written materials that we submitted to you all this afternoon 4 recent cases where drug dealers did get long sentences for these crimes. So even with the proximate cause standard that is there now, these prosecutions can be successful. And so, to some degree, the premise we think of the bill doesn't hold up. But more fundamentally, we think it's unconstitutional. We really genuinely fear that it is. Respectfully have to say that. 2 reasons. One, this came up in Representative Learned's points. Florida is only one of 2 states that allows drug-induced crimes to produce a capital crime. Oklahoma is the other one. So this one increases our outlying status because now we would take away the proximate cause standard under the bill. So the Supreme Court that deals with capital cases, the U.S. Supreme Court, looks very askance at outlier states when a state is out of step on the capital, on capital punishment. So we think that's a concern. Secondly, as Representative Driscoll pointed out, this new standard in the bill is vague and difficult to understand. We don't see that phrase, substantial factor, in any other criminal law that we're familiar with. So we think the proximate cause standard is the right standard to have. And lastly, we think the bill creates a major disincentive to report drug overdoses. If people know there's a drug a death penalty possible from reporting drug activity that results in an overdose, we think they will be chilled from doing that. And we already have laws that are encouraging people to report overdoses. We have a Good Samaritan law, so it seems to go in the opposite direction. So those are our concerns. We felt we had to point them out, and we thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Ms. Daniels. Next, I have Amy McCourt, representing herself. She waives in opposition. Christy Arnold, Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops, waives in opposition. Libby Guzzo, the Office of the Attorney General, waives in support. Mary Kuntz, representing herself, waives in opposition. Ida Escamani, Florida Immigrant Coalition, and she waives in opposition. Ida Escamani, Florida Rising, and waives in opposition. Lauren Jackson, Seminole County Sheriff's Office, waives in support. Matthew Dunnigan, Florida Sheriff's Association, waives in support. Laura Phillipson, representing herself, waives in opposition. And Jack Campbell, Florida prosecuting attorney, is a proponent and waives in support. That is public comment. Members, we are now in debate. Are there any members wishing to debate? Representative Diamond, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wasn't planning to debate, but just to get some discussion going. I appreciate Representative Plakin bringing this bill, and I think it's, knowing him, I know it's brought from a very good place because we're in the middle of this, like all states, this tragic increase in drug overdose deaths. And we're all trying to grapple with that, and we've all experienced it in different ways. Many of us know somebody who's lost somebody, and the damage it's caused to our families and our communities is really hard to describe in a short comment. I'm just not convinced, candidly, that there is really, you know, the people that I've heard push bills like this have argued that if we just punish, if we just increase the punishments in this way, that we will somehow reduce the number of overdose deaths. And I'm just not convinced yet that there is any evidence to support that. In fact, when we look at states that have started prosecuting these kind of drug-induced homicide cases under the felony murder rule, the numbers are still moving in the wrong direction. So I very much respect the fact that the representative wants to work on this problem. I'm just not convinced this is the right solution. We've been sort of hearing this deterrence argument from proponents of these ideas for candidly 40 years, and I haven't seen the evidence that it's going to move us in the right direction. And so for those reasons, I'll be respectfully voting no on the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Diamond. Any other members? Ranking Member Driscoll, you're recognized.
Yes, just briefly. And thanks for that, Rep. Diamond, because you really, you know, spurred me to think about this in a different way too, right? If that was the solution, everybody would do it and the epidemic would be over. It's tough. It's complicated. We all want to do the right thing. We want our communities to be safer. But our job is not to make the state prosecution's job easier, nor is it our job to make it harder, but our job is to make sure that it's done right and it's done appropriately. And there are standards in criminal law for a reason. When you're talking about restraining somebody's personal freedom and locking them up, there are certain standards that must be proven. You know, we have reasonable doubt standards for a reason. We have intention. We look into intention in mens rea and the state of mind at the time a crime was committed for reasons. It's because you're about to restrain somebody's personal freedom, and there are constitutional implications with that. So I appreciated all of the public testimony and comment about the bill and the debate today, but I've not been persuaded that it moves us in the right direction, and so I'll be down on it today. Thanks.
Any other members in debate? Representative Larned, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just, stepping back one last time, and you guys have heard me say this probably 100 times, I'm not a lawyer. So the proximate cause piece, I still find confusing. I fixated on this concept of mandatory minimums and the fact that we are creating one sentence available to all prosecutors and all judges and all juries across the state for all crimes. There is no nuance in any law that this creates. You get life in prison if you are guilty of this. This is a capital offense. I would remind everybody that that makes the punishment for this, a drug dealer, worse than the punishment for a rapist.
Representative Roach, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to vote up on the bill, but I just had to say that my colleagues, Representative Driscoll and Representative Leonard, made some very compelling points, and I appreciate the respectful and well-informed back-and-forth debate. That's why I love being on this committee, so thank you all.
Any other members in debate? Yes, Representative Brannon, you're recognized.
I think I've given this example before in the other committee. Maybe I should have done it in questioning when Representative Plaker was presenting this bill. But I'm going to pick on Mr. Buddy Jacobs sitting on the front row right there. If I shoot Mr. Buddy Jacobs in the heart and I immediately shoot him in the head, the ME is going to have a hard time determining what the proximate cause of death was. And I've been to many autopsies in my day. And that is all this bill's doing. They'll both kill him, and they'll both kill him just as good. And as far as prosecutors and the, what am I trying to say, the felony manner of causing death, they need all the tools in the toolbox on the table that they can use to deal with this, as Mr. Bishop said, this growing issue. And the other side of this thing is you only have to go back to if I drive Representative Roach down to the convenience store this afternoon to rob it, he goes in there and shoots that clerk, I'm just as guilty as he is. And that's all this bill's doing, too. It encompasses all these things. And so for all those reasons, I'm going to be voting for it and for this good bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Brannon. Any other members in debate? Seeing no other members in debate, Representative Plaken, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The issue came up with Ms. Daniels, whether the substantial factor standard has been used in criminal cases. I've been told that it's been used in both criminal and civil law, in particular in murder and other criminal cases. If there's multiple people or multiple weapons involved, they've used that standard. Now, I reserve the right to be wrong, but this is what I've been told by some of the law enforcement, and before it goes to the floor, I'd actually like clarification, but that's what I've been told. In a day like today, which is much different than previous days, we have Chinese labs creating fentanyl being exported to Mexico to cartels that's going over our increasingly open borders with hundreds of thousands of people coming over every month or two. This is no longer the days of gigantic poppy fields. This can be easily brought into our country. It came up with Representative Driscoll with whether it's harder or easier. Whether it's harder or easier for prosecutors or defenders, that's a discussion to have. But I think we have a responsibility as a legislature to provide clear laws. And my understanding in talking to the various stakeholders, there is lack of clarity to enable prosecutions. Now, the intention in 1972 was that you could be subject to a capital felony. So as I said before, with 100,000 deaths and increasing every year, if you think that this is a good idea to step it back a little bit, certainly this is not the year to do it. And I say this as someone that is in my sixth term over two stints, and I believe every term I've filed some type of criminal justice reform, smart justice, as Mr. Bishop said. So this is unusual for me to take a step in this direction. But given what's going on in the world today and communities struggling, I think it's important we provide clarity and make it easier to prosecute these cases and put that tool or keep that tool in the toolbox of prosecutors. I would ask everyone please support this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Plaken, having closed on his bill, Lindsay, would you please call the roll?
Representatives Alexander?
No.
Beltran?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Lucetta Cabrera?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Diamond?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fernandez-Barkin?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
No.
Hart?
No.
Learned?
No.
Plakin? Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trunau?
Yes.
Chair Graw?
Yes.
14 yeas, 6 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Lindsay, please show CS for HB 95 reported favorably. Members, our last bill of the day is HB 6037 by Representative Snyder. Representative Snyder, you are recognized from the podium.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good afternoon. And good afternoon, Vice Chair and Ranking Member Driscoll and my fellow committee members. If you were all on this committee last year, you heard this bill, and certainly all those, if you were there that day, heard this on the floor as well. This is a second attempt to try and bring some additional tools and resources to our law enforcement and prosecutors as it pertains to traveling criminals and many times the organized enterprises that operate that. We've heard in the last bill about the criminal business model. And in the old days, it was not uncommon for your local bad guys to roam around the neighborhoods looking for things to steal. But as law enforcement began getting a better grasp on those local criminals, they really have shifted, and now organized crimes are leading statewide traveling burglar operations. And so in 2014, the legislature passed a traveling criminals bill, but one of the unintended pieces of that legislation really tied the hands of prosecutors and created what I call a double threshold. And so this is a repealer bill that simply removes some of the confusing language that has prohibited any prosecutor from ever bringing a successful conviction on this, and I hope to have your favorable support. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Representative Hart, you're recognized.
Do I understand? Thank you, Madam Chair. Do I understand this to ask for an increase of 10 years if you are across your county line from where you have ID, house, and that kind of stuff?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the question. It really is a case-by-case basis. What this simply would allow prosecutors to do would be to enhance the degree or the charge by one degree if they were able to prove that they traveled outside of county lines specifically to commit the crime. And so it really breaks down to where that crime falls on the offender ranking score sheet. And so it would be handled on a case-by-case basis.
You recognize for additional question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And trying to assess the impact, do you know how many people committed burglaries in other counties other than where they reside in 19 or 20?
You recognize.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To my knowledge, we do not have any statewide specific, or I know that there is not a statewide tracker of that, but I have engaged with multiple law enforcement agencies across the state, and I believe that if you asked any agency in the state, do you see a difference between your local crime and those that travel from outside of the area, I know that that's something that they do track, and that there has been a steady increase over the last several years.
Additional question?
One more. Okay. Do you have any idea what kind of impact this would have on our Department of Corrections, since we don't know a real number, even if we just had 5? Do you have any idea what kind of an impact that would be on our Department of Corrections to get arrested and charged?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the question. According to the bill analysis, the fiscal is indeterminate. It will have a positive impact, but we don't know what that exact dollar amount would be.
Additional additional question?
Yes, one more. Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you have any idea what it costs us currently to house one person in our Department of Corrections?
I would say that that's outside the scope of the bill. Mm-hmm. I would say that that's outside the scope of the bill, but if the sponsor knows the answer and wants to respond, he's welcome to.
Madam Chair, could you then provide me at a later date so that I'd have an opportunity to look at it? What does DOC think this impact would be financially, since there's no information on it currently?
Thank you. Any additional questions, members? Representative Alexander, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing your bill forward. Do you believe your bill will deter citizens from committing crimes by the enhancing in the penalty?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that this certainly will enhance the consequence, and that is the hope that the word gets out. I think anytime we've seen certain dollar amounts applied to retail theft, it becomes common knowledge. Make sure you don't steal over that dollar amount. And so I think that, again, going back to the business enterprise, I think that that these criminal rings are smart, and that's our hope, is that it certainly catches the attention and is, in fact, a strong deterrent.
Follow-up?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you think the consequence will deter someone committing these type of crimes because of the enhanced penalty?
You recognize.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for the question. I believe that it will deter them as long as they're behind bars from doing it again.
You recognize?
Last question. Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you believe the people that are committing these crimes will be aware of the law that we passed to deter them based off of your intent?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. I certainly will do everything in my power to get that word out, and I would encourage all of our members to share that, because that is part of the message I believe we owe it to our communities to take back and share those things.
Thank you.
Any additional questions, members? Seeing no additional questions and seeing no amendments, we have some public testimony. Christy Arnold, Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops, wave in opposition. Nisha Rose Hines, ACLU Florida, wave in opposition. Nancy Daniels, Florida Public Defender Association, wave in opposition. Lorette Phillipson, representing herself, wave in opposition. Mary Kuntz, representing herself, wave in opposition. Amy McCourt, representing herself, wave in opposition. Matt Dunnigan, Florida Sheriff's Association, wave in support. Karen Woodall, SPLC Action Fund, wave in opposition. Lorette Phillipson, representing herself, wave in opposition. Amy McCourt, representing herself, wave in opposition. Barney Bishop. You're recognized, Mr. Bishop. Florida Smart Justice Alliance.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. Barney Bishop with Florida Smart Justice Alliance. So I just wanted to make three points. Number one, a lot of people live in one county and work in another. For example, here, even in this part of the state, a lot of people live in Wakulla County, but they work in Leon County in state government. So it's the same thing in Miami-Dade County. People live there, but they work in Broward or Broward and Miami-Dade or Broward and Palm Beach, Orlando and Osceola County. So people do that. So guess what? Criminals do that as well. And they do that because they know that some state, they know that some jurisdictions are easier than others. They also know that in some cases, it creates problems in the prosecution of it. So with regard to what's the impact on corrections, thankfully we've been going down on the number of people that are in our prison. But government's first responsibility, and y'all all know this, is public safety. So burglary, by the way, is a precursor crime to going to more violent crime. So if you don't stop that burglar, and if you don't get that person some treatment and some help, they're just going to become more violent every time they get rearrested. So the best thing to do is to nip it in the bud, to be tough but smart, and do the right thing. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Ida Eskamani, Florida Immigrant Coalition, she waves in opposition. Ida Eskamani, Florida Rising, wave in opposition. Having concluded public comment, members, we are now in debate. Are there members wishing to debate the bill? Representative Hart, recognized.
Thank you very much for bringing the bill. I greatly appreciate what you're trying to do. However, when we talk about the impact on our prisons, we know that we have a crisis in the state of Florida right now. The numbers are only down because we have people in 67 counties held in jails waiting prosecution to enter our facilities. What we need to do is figure out how it is that maybe we help some of these folk who may have committed a crime as opposed to just saying, okay, let's lock everybody up and keep them there. Let's double the time for an individual going in. You all know that currently we are 5,800 officers short of being able to staff our prisons. Our prisons currently have one officer to every 250 prisoners. So let's not get confused and say the numbers are down. The numbers are waiting to increase. I just ask that we pay attention. I'm not saying criminals should get by. Criminals should get away and not do time. But what I am saying is, why are we doubling the time because they crossed a line? I don't think they crossed the line as individuals just because they wanted to go steal. They're thieves and they're stealing where opportunity may be at that particular moment. So I think that we have ample tools in our toolbox to prosecute people currently. And I just don't think that we should be enhancing these penalties, not at a time like this. When we cannot house the ones we already have, we have closed 188 dorm beds. We have people sleeping on the floors in TV rooms. If you all are visiting our facilities, you get to see a whole different world of what we're facing right now. So we're in a crisis here in Florida. The last thing we need to do is put any additional burden on DOC and their crisis that they're going through right now. So for that reason, I'm down today.
Representative Byrd, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I just want to thank Representative Snyder for working on this last year and then also bringing it back this year. And I can absolutely say that this is a problem and that criminal rings are crossing county lines for this purpose. In Northeast Florida, I represent Duval County. Nassau County is a smaller rural county. Next door is Baker County. And in talking to law enforcement officers there, this is absolutely taking place where they go in and steal things in the smaller counties, flee back to the larger county because they know the larger counties have more difficulty. They have fewer resources, and they figure they'll get lost in the shuffle. So they are doing this with the intent. They're not accidentally just not knowing where they are. As to the issue of, nightly on the news, we see these smash and grabs that are taking place in these states that are going in the opposite direction where they're not prosecuting criminals. And what happens? The criminals get more brazen. They get more bold. Florida, we are the law and order state. We need to do this. And if we need to appropriate more money to increase and staff our prisons better, then let's do that. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. Great bill. Thank you for bringing it.
Representative Driscoll, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it is a great day when I agree with Chair Byrd on something, which is we do need to better fund our correction system. But I don't know. I mean, I think about it. I imagine that every thief wants to steal and get away with it. And then there are some who want to steal and really get away with it. And so for that reason, we enhance their sentence. It's not adding up to me. I do think it is appropriate to be smart on crime and certainly to deter. And there are other places in the country where it looks like things have gotten way too relaxed and it's just bedlam. And we don't want that to be the state of Florida for sure, because we do appreciate the ability of our people to be safe. But I don't understand how this actually helps us to make the community safer. It punishes harder, but it doesn't actually translate to safety. And so for that reason, I'll have to be down on the bill against this year. But I thank you for your noble attempt.
Representative Brandon, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. You got a hard question a while ago about numbers, and I know you can't do that, but I can tell you, riding off of what Representative Byrd just said, in my 30 years in my county that was in somewhat close proximity to a urban area, I can tell you year in and year out, half of the burglaries that were committed in our crime were coming from Jacksonville. And they were hightailing it back to Jacksonville. On the days before we had computers, they were pawning stuff, and it was very hard to track that stuff. And those crimes spun off oftentimes. One of the wildest police chases I was ever in was a group that was in a U-Haul, had broke into somebody's house, and we chased them all the way back to Jacksonville, going westbound in the eastbound lane while they hung out the windows and shot at us the whole time. Now, we eventually caught those folks, but that type of crime gets worse crime. And I do want to speak to the deterrence factor, too. We all know that's not something we can measure. We all say, well, I've thought for all these years and hadn't done anything. How do we ever know how many crimes aren't committed? We never know that. You cannot measure that, and you cannot answer that question. All we can do is try to pass the best laws we can and try to teach people and educate and teach the public and our criminals and hope they abide by it. But we can never measure that deterrence factor because we just don't know.
Representative Alexander, you're recognized to debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think it's been a very good discussion today. I believe that, me being a pragmatist, I believe that when we create laws to solve problems. And when I look at this and I'm trying to connect the dots, can the laws we create control human behavior? And that can be a discussion, and I'm sure we all have our own ideology about that. However, I do know for sure, in regards to trying to solve a problem, you're bringing this bill forward in simple terms because you believe that we need to come up with a solution to get people to stop coming across the line to commit crimes. I do not believe this is the solution to answer that, because all you're going to do is enhance the penalties, lock people up, and add more burden to taxpayers, spend more and more money, and we're not going to mass incarcerate ourselves out of these problems. You know, if the solution was to lock people up and stop crime, then all these laws we passed in all these years would have stopped crime a long time ago. I do believe people should be held accountable. But if the underlying intent is to attempt to keep people from going across a county line from committing a crime, I believe it's a flawed construct. And so that's just my perspective on it. I think that, you know, there are a lot of people that profit on making money on the backs of people in regards to the prison system. And I do not see a correlation between what this bill is attempting to do and actually deterring people from committing those crimes. And if that's the intent, I don't believe the solution is being solved.
Having concluded debate, Representative Snyder, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, thank you, members, for the robust discussion. And yeah, I think it's really important to bring it back to the point that was made. The bills that we bring forward are supposed to be to bring a solution to a problem. And if you, and I'd be happy to share some links, if you just type in to Google, and we've heard this before, just get on Google, traveling criminal Florida, you will see article after article where this isn't just a one-time occurrence. This isn't just a few individuals who decide on the weekend, hey, let's jump in the car and go try and find, you know, let's go steal a new stereo. This is about a concentrated effort, again, a business model that has found it very profitable to leave their county, become anonymous on the interstate, slip in and slip out and hope to disappear. And this is not as much about keeping, you know, the victim community safe. This is about what those criminals are after. The burglaries that are happening, they know that if they can get an unlocked car with a handgun underneath the seat or in the glove box, that's a jackpot. and they can take that back home. And more often than not, those are the handguns that are driving the gun violence that we see ravaging our state. And when you talk to law enforcement and you hear the stories of these criminal enterprises that get on using satellite technology, Google Maps, and they know the neighborhoods and the proximity to the interstate and the ease and access to be able to get in and get out, it's a problem. And these aren't just individuals where it's one, two, three, four times. We've got numerous articles, 30 times they've done this, 40 times they've done this, and that's part of the problem is with the current burglary and how those are prosecuted. I mean, they're in and out in a couple of months if they're actually serving time. We've got examples where, again, we talk about criminals, they know the law, and there's a reason why we've got examples of individuals with ankle monitors on. They knew they could leave their county, steal guns, come back home, and they had the GPS trail the whole way along. So not going to belabor the point. We know this is a real problem. I do believe that this is an additional tool that really will help bring some resources to our law enforcement and prosecutor community. Want to just quickly say thank you again, Chair Byrd, going back to last year and your help with this. Trina, you and your entire team. And Chair Grawl, thank you for hearing this. And I know we have at least one viewer on Florida Channel, someone I worked very closely with this, our Martin County Sheriff and someone who actually sat here and chaired the Judiciary Committee in the past. So Dad, thank you for all your help on this. Members, ask for your favorable support, and hopefully we'll see this on the floor soon.
Rep. Snyder, having closed on his bill, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 6037.
Representatives Alexander?
No.
Beltran?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Bustada Cabrera?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Diamond?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fernandez-Barkin?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
No.
Hart?
No.
Learned?
No.
Plakin?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
A big yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Still a yes.
True now?
Yes.
Chair Graw?
Yes.
14 yays, 6 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Show HB 6037 reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, there is no further business before the committee today, so that concludes our agenda. And Representative Brannon moves we rise, and without objection, the meeting is adjourned.